If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time to check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, I was thinking about you and our conversations yesterday. I was watching a report. I think it was NBC's Richard Engel talking to young kids, children in school in Ukraine, little kids, and they had to have their school class meetings in the subway. But the kids were so happy, and unlike regular kids, they really, really looked forward to the part of their day where they could go to school, even though it was in the subway. And it was charming and also heartbreaking to see this story. And I'm sure you're familiar with that scene, aren't you?
Yeah, Bob, hello from Lviv, and yeah, especially in the city of Kharkiv, which is just 30 miles or so from Russia. Indeed, they've prepared through the summer for students to study in the subways. And, you know, I think about last winter, students were studying by candlelight. And it's amazing how Ukrainians got used to that. Today, you know, it's still a beautiful, bright summer, sort of summer feeling day here. But it was on October 10th. Last year, so we were approaching the one-year anniversary of those regular Russian infrastructure attacks. And so there is a sense of preparing for what could be a difficult winter. And so one of the adjustments is that they prepare, Ukrainians have prepared schools so they can keep running no matter what happens. And as you tell that that story of the kids, you know, being sort of cheerful in the school, I was thinking yesterday, a Ukrainian woman here in Lviv. It was a beautiful day, and we were walking, and she said, "In all this hell, there is a place for gladness." And at first she said, "There's a place for joy," and she changed it to gladness. Hmm. In all this hell, there's a place for gladness. And you see, that's, you know, this is, I mean, you can't, you know, pretend this is not happening. And you have to find ways to not only to survive, but to thrive and to even enjoy life in these circumstances. And that's what you see here every day. And I think, you know, especially, you know, we were talking yesterday about Elon Musk with this sort of snide tweet about Zelensky asking for billions. And, you know, Americans love self-help stories, you know, stories of gumption. And especially Americans in the world of tech, you know, that's sort of their own story of how they, you know, rise to success. And that's what you see here every single day. And so I encourage, you know, all, I mean, I try in my storytelling to show this, but I encourage more and more people to realize that gumption, as an example, for all of us. And, you know, this, I was speaking with another friend. So right now in Warsaw, not so far away here from here in Lviv, in Poland, is the Warsaw Security Conference, the Warsaw Security Forum. Many people are gathered from around Europe and the world. They do this every year, but now obviously the focus is on Ukraine and how to stop Russia. And as one of my friends who was on the way to the forum yesterday, he stopped in Lviv and was saying, you know, for Russia, what Russia needs to win is simply to wait. They just need to keep waiting, you know, keep doing these, you know, little attacks and big attacks here and there, and then just hope that the world loses gumption, that the world gets tired. And that's really Russia's tactic. And so for those who support Ukraine, it's, you know, this is encouraging people not to get bored of this and not to let Russia seize advantage of sort of a global boredom about the situation here. And so on that score, today, Junior Minister of Defense for the United Kingdom, he was speaking at the Warsaw Security Forum, and he very provocatively, but he backed up his statement. He says that Ukraine has achieved the functional defeat of the Russian Black Sea Fleet. Now, many people are seizing upon these comments on Twitter today. He was not saying that Ukraine has destroyed Russia's Black Sea Fleet, that, you know, certainly Ukraine has not destroyed Russia's Navy, but because, especially because of those Storm Shadow long-range missiles provided by the UK, Ukraine has proved that they can hit Russia's main naval base in Sevastopol. They can make a direct targeted hit, and they can cause a lot of damage. And as a result, and this is what the minister, junior minister of defense, James Heapy, was saying from the UK, as a result, Russia cannot keep its you know, its main naval assets in that key port. They have to go further afield throughout the Black Sea. And this really, he says this could really make a difference. And so as we do look at, you know, anticipating how Russia will, if there will be a series of infrastructure attacks, the argument from this senior, from a junior member of the UK government is that, you know, Ukraine has actually really crippled Russia's ability to attack. And so I guess, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see in these next weeks, what Russia is able to do. But there is, you know, even with all the negative news and heaviness, there are many good things much good progress that Ukraine has made. I think probably in some surprising ways, especially with what Ukrainians have done to the Russian Navy.
Well, as you say, we can't become bored or numb as this war drags on, and we need more stories and to pay attention to those stories about kids trying to learn and having a great attitude in the subways of Ukraine. I saw a story that was really hard to watch, but we need to see this kind of stuff. It was in a hospital in Ukraine, and you see all these people missing limbs, and their spirit remains unbroken. And Joseph, you do such a great job of turning the casualty numbers we hear into the stories of real people and families, and it gives us a real understanding of the war.
Yeah, you know, I mean, every day, as I've said before, when you walk through Ukrainian cities, you see people missing arms and legs, which you never saw, of course, you know, to such a degree before Russia's invasion, full-scale invasion. But you see people laughing and joking and still living, truly unbroken. And that's why it's difficult when you see headlines, like, for example, in the Politico today, they said that Politico reported that Biden administration officials are more worried about corruption in Ukraine, according to one of these anonymous leaked memos. And, you know, Russian propaganda is extremely insidious and everywhere. And Russian propaganda tries to break people's spirits and tries to make people feel at least, you know, I don't want to deal with that corrupt mess. And so this is a very curious story in Politico because it doesn't say who leaked the memo. We don't have any details about it, but it's always just vague aspersions of corruption. And, you know, the one thing that President Biden could clear up is his son made money from the Yanukovych regime, the regime that the Ukrainian people kicked out in 2014 and sent fleeing to Moscow. And it's still people cannot, you know, media is missing this main point on the left and the right, that oil company that paid Joe Biden's son was part of the government that the Ukrainian people sent fleeing to Moscow in their 2014 Revolution of Dignity. And so Ukrainians have been, the reason why this war is happening is because they've been standing against corruption, against Russian corruption, but also, frankly, against American and other foreign corruption that sought to plunder this country up until 2014 when Ukrainians began to put the brakes on it. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, I have to correct something I said yesterday. I talked about that company that's based in Chicago, Mondelez, which is a successor to Kraft, and they make Oreos and Wheat Thins and all kinds of sort of snack and junk food. They have made more than $1 billion in revenue from Russia. I said 60 billion, so that was not correct. But they have contributed, according to Ukrainian authorities, so you have to keep that in mind, that Mondelez has contributed more than $61 million in taxes to the Kremlin. So here's a Chicago-based company. They have Ukraine all over their homepage and talk about how they're helping Ukraine, but they are significantly contributing to the Russian economy, to the Kremlin, and to the missiles that are sent upon this country. And so here's what we really have to say. No matter how much people, whether they're politicians or corporations, no matter how much they talk about Ukraine, where do they really stand? Or are we going to let this, you know, go on in sort of a slow, you know, lots of talk but no action? This is the big question that the world still has to answer.
Joseph, let me close by sharing a text with you from one of our listeners. There is a place for gladness in my mornings, Joseph's stories. There you go. That's nice, isn't it? Oh, I think his connection dropped out. Hope you heard that.